Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the
ball? I'll get you the ball. I
hope he didn't kill somebody.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water, man. Y'all jacking. It's a party. It's a party. It's a party.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel. Nick Roush here with you. Ripping, roaring, ready to roll. The bye week came at a good time, Adam Luckett.
Bye week number two.
So, you know, coaches, they always say that. They're never wrong.
Football's a physical sport. It's good to take a step back sometimes and just heal up.
Yeah, and the same applies for podcasters. I was feeling a little under the weather earlier this week. I think Sunday I did the thing where it was like, I'm going to sleep in, I'm going to get my rest, I'll be ready to go on Monday. I had a lot of thoughts from the Missouri game I was ready to share, and then I woke up at like 4 a.m. Monday morning. I was just like, you're done, buddy. Why don't you chug some of that DayQuil there and go fall asleep on the couch. You're done. But after 2 days of lots of sleep, the good news was that I didn't miss a whole lot because it was the bye week. Kentucky, they knew. Like, Mark Stoops, he gave his team off Monday, so I guess I earned my Monday off.
UK's doing a really good job with those locker room videos after the game, I think.
Yeah.
We've got two of Stoops dancing the last couple games. For the Arkansas game, they did that big piece where they showed his, like, pregame speech before they got on the bus.
Ooh, that was nice, too, because we had never seen, like...
Right.
The team meeting before they hop on the bus.
So you got to see him give his kind of, you know, that was kind of his motivation speech before they, you know, got ready. And then we got to see him dance. But the real man we got to see dance was Day-Day Hawkins.
Oh, that was a beautiful dance. My man Day-Day does
got
not.
Got that SoFlow drip.
Oh, man, he's so SoFlow. He is the most SoFlow there is. And for those who don't know SoFlow, it's South Florida. He's got plenty of confidence, plenty of swagger, and the thing I just appreciate most is that there's never any rhyme or reason to his dancing. He just flows and then goes with whatever comes to mind. It's like me after a few cocktails at a wedding.
You see it in basketball a lot, the guy at the end of the bench that's the bench mob that brings that juice on the sideline.
Like Pantelis from DePaul.
Like him at DePaul, Monmouth a couple years ago, the guy that did all the dances at the end.
They were really good.
Well, for Kentucky, the guy that brings that juice is Hawkins. He's always dancing, always doing something on the sideline. So it was good to see him get a little moment of shine.
Yeah.
And he also got some he's getting some PT, and he got some against Missouri
I think.
So he's going to be a guy next year that probably steps into a bigger role. But for right now, he's just the guy to bring the juice on the sideline.
Yeah, right now he's in that there's a bunch of seniors right there, and he's not as meaty as the rest of them. You know, get a little bit more meat on there, he'd be all right. Defensive line play in general. The strength of the team is the strength, Adam Luckett.
Yes, it is.
It finally is. And I think it took a while. And my hunch is that, you know, remember when Mark Stoops said, in the bye week, we just clicked. And you're like, okay, but what does that mean? I think that's just what it means. And all of the pieces have come together. And when you're not rely when you can't lean on a guy like Josh Allen to speed rush his way to a bunch of sacks, you need everybody to be on the same page, clicking. And I think now all of those guys are clicking, they're staying disciplined in their rush lanes, and they're wreaking a bunch of havoc behind the line of scrimmage.
Right, and then you look at the team, six of the top 10 tacklers this year are like first-time starters. So it's just a lot of new parts, new pieces, trying to – find their way and find their mold, trying to find how they need to play, a first-time coordinator trying to, you know, find all the right buttons to push.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're starting to see that switch come on. And now you're starting to see this team play with extreme confidence. They're playing hard as can be. We've heard Stoops talk multiple times about, you know, we're just playing hard. You know, this is how we got to be. We have to play hard. And then the last couple games, we've just seen the numbers they've been putting up have been really good. If you just look at since the South Carolina game, they're giving up 18 points per game. If you kept that number
pretty good
in house, that's 15th nationally.
Is it 18 or 16?
I counted 15th last night. You might have gotten.
No. I meant like points per game. Yep. My math too.
I had 18, but you know, I've been.
I've also.
I took college algebra like three times, so that could be me.
I've also been on like a bunch of drugs, so like right. Some of the things.
Either way, it's
yes, fine. It's very good, and I do know the one number that's right is it's only 288 yards per game mm-hmm. through the last three contests.
Right,
Missouri. They had top five in all four major statistical categories of the SEC as far as offense goes, and you held them to less than 300 total yards.
Right. The two highest yards per play total for the defense allowed have occurred against Missouri the last 2 years. So Mark Stoops kind of has Derek Dooley's number.
Oh, and Derek Dooley now lost two games to Kentucky wide receivers.
So,
oh, man. God, I love beating Derek Dooley.
This year, the best performance they had on defense was Mizzou, held him to 4.6 yards per play. Last year, it was like 4.05 yards per play. Of course, all those three and outs in the second half.
I really am mad that I didn't go looking for Derek Dooley in the coach's box on Saturday. I don't know what I was thinking.
Is he in the box?
He's up in the booth, yeah.
Okay, I thought he was on the field.
In the notes, it said that he was in the box. But
that's
new,
then, because last year, I'm pretty sure I saw him on the field. Yeah. But either way, yeah.
Yeah, because I was hoping.
Went there and got a selfie with him.
Yeah, and to see if he not has the orange pants, but maybe some yellow ones. I know with the kind of tint of gold of Missouri is more of a khaki. But he could technically be in theme while just wearing khaki. Dooley strikes me as a guy who wears khakis a lot.
Big pants guy.
Yeah. Slacks. Pleated slacks.
I feel like he has a few different Easter colored blazers in his closet.
Definitely. And slacks, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he has, like, full combinations. And he wears them on occasions that aren't just Easter, either.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, he's in that, I like that him and Barry Odom are both in that. Like, Barry Odom is to Mark Stoops what Mark Fox is to John Calipari. Where, like, they're always complimenting the other one, and it's because they just kick their ass all the time. It's like, right. Man, he's just a good football coach. Well, he's good. You like him, Mark, because you always beat him.
Has his number for sure.
Yeah. 5 years in a row now, Kentucky has defeated the Missouri Tigers. And this was the most lopsided of any of the victories that Kentucky's had in that stretch. And it was also, I think, the biggest spread. I don't know certainly, but 11 points.
It was.
Yeah.
The highest since 2013.
Right, whenever Pinkel was coming off of an SEC's championship.
Right.
And Stoops was 2 wins.
Stoops' first year. Yeah. And then the Missouri team went like 7-1, SEC won the East, yeah. Mm. But, yeah, Odom's been a part.
Mm-hmm.
Every year Stoops has beat Missouri. He was the defensive coordinator in 2015, head coach 2016 on. And they were all one-possession games until this one. And it was really kind of what we saw in the last three games. We're going to get to Bolden in a second and what he's doing. It's been awesome. But this defense is driving the bus right now. What they are doing is allowing Kentucky to have chances to win game playing the style they're playing on offense.
So if you take away the one score, we can play that game again. Let's play that game again.
Right.
So it was, what, a 77-yard touchdown? That means Kentucky's holding them to 200 yards. They really only had one drive. Missouri had one drive the entire night when they put in their backup quarterback where they moved the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. Went forward and fourth down. The backup quarterback played like a backup again, threw it behind him.
Second possession, they had like a 15-play drive, missed a field goal.
Yeah.
So they really had two kind of drives where they successfully moved the ball from the 20 to the, you know, 20, I guess you would say. But, yeah, the screen they hit, that was a great play call. Mm-hmm. Caught Kentucky in a bad defense. Kentucky's nickel didn't get off a block.
Huh.
And that's been
an issue. Seems like a theme this year.
So, but yeah, other than that, the defense has been awesome, and it starts up front. Calvin Taylor has been excellent this year. Javon Kinlaw at South Carolina and Derek Brown at Auburn are locks for first team all SEC.
Mm-hmm.
But Taylor is right there with a few other guys. McTelvin Ageem at Arkansas.
Yep. Sosa.
Sosa. There's a few other I'm blanking on right now that are that are competing for those second team honors. The guy from Missouri we just saw, Jordan Elliott, he's another guy. So there's about four or five of them right there. And Taylor has a good a chance at anybody getting second team All-SEC defensive tackle. He's got five sacks as an interior rusher,
which is a lot for an interior guy. He's leading the team in sacks right now. And going into the season, Brad White, he told this story multiple occasions about Robert Mathis. He coached Robert Mathis for the Indianapolis Colts. And Mathis, I forget if it was an injury or if it was a drug suspension or something like that, but Mathis went from leading the NFL in sacks to out for a year. And White, the moral of White's story was we lost him, but we had more sacks as a team because we spread the wealth. And you didn't see that right away, but last year through eight games, I went back and tallied them. Kentucky had 22 sacks and 45 tackles for a loss. This year, through that same stretch of time, Kentucky has 19 sacks, 39 tackles for a loss. It's just a few off, and I think a lot of that is because Josh Allen had a huge game in South Carolina where he had six tackles for a loss and four sacks. So Josh Allen's one big game has a big reason why, but it's not a huge discrepancy because Calvin Taylor has really risen to the occasion, and you've seen other guys play well in spots. So
starting to get that edge rush we've been talking about too.
Yeah. Bookie Watson, I thought he played well on Saturday, and I went back and looked. He didn't have a stat. I was like, hey, wait, hold up. Mm-hmm. Bookie got after the quarterback. He made them throw away a couple. There was a couple times where Bryant got loose on the outside, but they were applying pressure. He didn't even record a stat. And I think you've gotten to that point with this defensive line where it's a different somebody every game. So Pascal had a tackle for loss and like two other tackles in the first three snaps of the game. We had the Cordell Looney game. I think you saw, did Quentin Bohanna get a sack? Quentin Bohanna made a couple big plays either this game or the one before. Mm-hmm. But my point is that they're consistently showing up, and you're having at least one guy be the guy who reaps all the rewards from everybody playing well. And it makes everybody else so much better because if you can get pressure on the quarterback, it puts a lot less stress on the defense. And you see moments like Saturday whenever it's raining out there and, okay, the quarterback finally does get a little bit of time, but the receivers aren't supposed to go in their way and they drop the ball.
What White was talking about, Robert Mathis had 19 and a half sacks in 2013, then tore his Achilles, missed all of 2014.
Okay, there we go.
So that's the background of that story, but Boogie has kind of emerged last couple of games. So what Missouri did and said, we're not going to let this guy beat us, so we're going to be light on the other end. So what that happens, that opens up opportunities for Jordan Wright. We saw J.J. Weaver get a QB knockdown.
Wright's got a couple of sacks this year so far.
Wright got a big sack fumble. We were talking about turnovers. Yeah. They need to start forcing takeaways.
They got a couple big ones.
That one was a huge one that really just totally flipped the game.
Can we just take a moment to poor
game management.
What in the hell was that? My goodness.
I think in his mind he knew the rain was going to get bad in the second half. So I think he knew that they might only have two or three possessions to really have a chance to get back in this thing.
Whoa.
We got sound effects now.
Oh, man. That scared me. But what we're talking about is the timeout.
15-0.
Yeah, 15-0.
Chance Poor hits a big field goal for Kentucky.
Yeah.
So Kentucky scores three times, but it's only up two possessions.
Right. And what happens is I forgot who got the big sack, though, on second down. It was second and eight.
Calvin Taylor, he pushed the guard into Bryant, which was awesome.
There is no more. I mean, knocking the blindside cornerback blitz sack is awesome, but just bull rushing, sacking somebody on their own player, there's nothing more manly than that. But that happens on the second down. And instead of just letting the clock run out at half when you're on your own 20 and you're like, okay, we're giving them the ball at half, but regardless, we just got to just chalk this one up as an L. He calls a timeout. And I immediately thought of Kirby Smart in that Georgia-South Carolina game. Like, dude, what do you do? Why are you trying to squeeze more juice out of this when there's nothing there? He tries to squeeze more juice out of it. Jordan Wright strip sack. Two plays later, Bowden scores a touchdown. Right. Kentucky goes up 22-0 at half.
Ball game, really. 22, yeah, 22-0.
And if Kentucky just does anything on that first drive, Missouri was lucky that Cats came out kind of flat in that second.
What it set up was if Kentucky just got one score, whether it be a field goal, or anything in the second half, they were going to win the game.
Yeah,
and so they just kind of took them out of it. But I think Odom was I've got a senior quarterback. He's played a lot of football. I know the weather's going to be bad in the second half. and he just tried to steal one. He rolled the dice and tried to steal one, and it backfired on him.
Yep.
And it was the opposite of what happened last time these two teams played Kroger Field. Kentucky has a comfortable lead, just need to get off the field. They're in an obvious pass situation. They let Missouri run a go route down the sideline. Darius West takes a bad angle, touchdown, and then it's totally different. It goes from a game Kentucky's totally in control of to, oh, it's a two-possession game now.
Darius West took a lot of those as a junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a lot of those bad angles. One player you mentioned before I forget, J.J. Weaver, we finally got to see J.J.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy's going to be good.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised.
He had a couple, so...
He had a burst that I just didn't think he had.
So, that's the thing that's really exciting, is he's going to be really good. Like, now that he's got some good coaching, it's incredible. Yeah. So, the play that he made that really was like, okay, we needed him to make that play was right before Missouri missed the field goal. Missouri called for a holding. They're out of field goal range, and they run some kind of underneath. I forget if it was a drag or screen or what it was.
It was just a little – he hit the check down.
But Weaver stalks him down from behind, and I think it was like a 7 or 8 yard gain,
mm-hmm.
but he still made it a 43-yard field goal, and it was just enough for them to hook it.
Then he had a PBU in the second half.
Yeah, right at the line of scrimmage.
He just looked the part. And my thing with Weaver, he's big already. I thought he's going to grow into his body a little bit, gain 20 or so pounds, and maybe move down to the line. But I didn't think he had just that explosive get-off like he showed in that first game. So that's a positive sign. Now he's still raw. He's got to work on some moves.
Yeah, that... There was one.
But you can see him being, you know, just kind of a speed rusher off the edge.
There was one possession where he got a good rush. It might have been the right after he got the hurry. And the very next play, he had another rushing opportunity. I was watching him. And he still doesn't, like, the get off, not for getting off the line of scrimmage, but ripping and getting the offensive line's hands off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Still, there's freshman-ness there. But. I'm very optimistic, very good to see him reap some awards, too, for his patience. Like we mentioned last week, all of these dudes are going to redshirt. So it was good to see Weaver get some, as Stoops, what was the word that Stoops said? You gotta give him some hope. Well, and I think this goes a long way.
Just something to chew on.
Yeah. KD McDaniel.
My guy.
Yeah, your boy KD. He registered a tackle. I think it was another case where it was downfield he was pursuing. Jared Casey got in the game alongside him as well.
Jalen Geiger got in a little bit. They threw him in at nickel.
Oh, nice, nice. So you got a nice little mix-up.
This entire freshman class, it's looking like is going to redshirt,
mm-hmm.
which was not by plan. Taj Dotson, of course.
Got hurt.
MJ Devonshire, I think, was going to play. So injuries kind of forcing that. But it was good to see some of those blue chips that Kentucky got in the last class, Weaver and Casey, they look the part, and to see them out in action and not have any big gaff to kind of do their job was right. A good thing to see.
And
they played, it wasn't like they played minor snaps. They played some meaningful snaps in that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was when the game was still
in doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. So good to see from them. Glad they got some reinforcement. And while we're still on the defensive side of the ball, can we talk about our guys, Chris Oates and DeAndre?
That's what I was about to do that. My guy, Chris Oates. Smart football people say to have a fast defense, you have to have a fast mic. If you're not fast at middle linebacker, you're slow. Your defense is slow. I think Chris Oates, just him in the lineup, makes Kentucky's defense a little faster. He can cover sideline to sideline. He's not. You can't really take advantage of him in pass. Obvious pass situations.
He had one play that was really nice, too. I forget exactly what it was, like a third down or something, where he was just right there. Mm-hmm. And if he's not right there on the for the pass, he's making the tackle, and they're not getting a bunch of yards after catch. He first game as a starter, I think, except for that Texas A&M game, which he had to – where Cash had the targeting penalty, and he had to sit out. So, technically, second game as a starter, but the first time it was like, all right, Chris, this is...
It was his first time starting as playing the full game, because his two starts before then were Cash suspensions.
Right, right. So, and he has career-high 8 tackles. And his boy DeAndre Square has 7. They have 15 combined, mm-hmm. top 2 tacklers on the team.
You got a glimpse of the future. And those two guys next year on next year's defense are going to be the dudes.
And you know, like, those numbers are good and all, but you know where it really showed up, Adam Luckett? RB1.
Mm-hmm.
Lay around. We talked about it last week. You can't let an RB1 get going.
Meet you again.
15 carries, 58 yards. That's 3.9 a carry.
Over a yard below his season average.
And there were, I think, on the only drives that they really got anything going, it's because they got him rolling.
It was that drive they missed the field goal on the beginning of the game. It was like a 14-15 play drive.
And they got Roundtree rolling.
They got him rolling with a couple 10-plus yard runs.
But you know what? Kentucky responded. And that's really all you can ask for. Mm-hmm. Some of it has to do with how well that Kentucky's interior played. Like, those dudes up front were eating the A-gaps. Roundtree had nowhere to go. But a lot of it has to do with Chris Oates and DeAndre Square playing like grown-ass men.
Right. Oates had the big run stuff late, forced a fumble on that 4th and 1.
That's a hell of an exclamation point.
Right.
Man.
Just really lit up Roundtree in the hole.
Okay. Big picture. Obviously, last year's defense, best defense we've seen. How does this one stack up to others we've seen in Kentucky?
Right now, from what I've seen the last three games, it's the second best of the Stoops' tenure, I think.
Which is saying something, because there aren't too
many. I think it's a tier above most of them. The only one I think is kind of close is that 2014 group. But you have to remember that 2014 group was good early in the season, but that team played 11 straight games without a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got worn down at the end, and their secondary really stunk, just being honest.
Yeah, they were not good. My friends used to play a fun drinking game whenever UK corners would get burnt that year.
Right.
Yeah.
But they had, you know, two war daddies up front, Za'Darius and Bud Dupree, and then Mike Douglas, Melvin Lewis. Their defensive line was good. Linebackers were okay.
Did you see Bud's tackle for loss Monday Night Football?
I did.
My goodness. That's how you beat a freaking pull. He just dip, rip, boom. I mean, he didn't even
hang. Contract year.
My goodness. That's how you play during a contract year.
Right.
Which I wouldn't mind seeing him go elsewhere. Like,
I think that's pretty possible.
Yeah.
I think they want to kind of move him out of the way for T.J. Watt.
Yeah, which I don't blame
somebody's going to pay him.
And also, screw the Steelers. Ooh, what if he went? And I can't see the 49ers doing that. But, you know, I'm thinking big. I want him to go to a good team.
Hopefully, it'll be like Za'Darius, where he has a really good year, contract year. He goes to a perfect spot for him, and now you're seeing him. He's going to be – he looks like a first-team All-Pro. He's having an awesome year. Eight sacks.
Kentucky's edges right now.
Balling out.
Yeah. They're earning – and what they're really doing is they're helping guys like Boogie. They're helping guys like Calvin Taylor. Calvin Taylor wasn't going to get drafted. He's getting drafted.
Right. He's going to Senior Bowl, and depending on how he does there, he could eventually probably work his way in the third round.
I'd be interested to see how he tests. Because he's not a prototypical –
thing is, I don't think testing is not going to be his thing. It's going to be seeing him in practice, those scouts down there, seeing him play against guys in real football.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the big thing for him, is how he performs at the Senior Bowl. If he goes down there and, because of his size, if he goes down there and performs, he could be a big jumper.
I agree. Wholeheartedly, and we were on to something that – I got kind of distracted in a way. No. When I asked you about, hey, how good is this defense? Part of the bigger point I wanted to make is that when you have a defense this good, you can stick to your winning formula that won you 10 games in 2018, and that's play solid defense and run the damn ball.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I've got the reason why I have so much energy and pep in my step. It isn't because of the cold medicine. I've got my superpowers from my run the damn ball hat. I finally got one, and Adam Luckett, it feels good.
Keep your head warm.
Very warm, and it just I want everybody to know that.
You feel like a tough guy when you wear that hat?
I do. I want to just freaking lower my shoulder and run the damn ball, because that's what Kentucky is doing well. They've gotten back to that formula, and I would first like to give you this opportunity to say, I told you so. Don't have to be humble, Adam Luckett. Just.
I had a few people come up to me, Sawyer going to play? I said, this ain't the week for Sawyer Smith. Try to tell why. And then it was what I thought it would be. I knew Bowden would have that because you saw what Missouri did. They are so headstrong on stopping the run. They get in zero coverage.
Oh, yeah.
If you make one guy miss, zoom. And Kentucky blocked well up front, and I think Grand had some good play calls. They did some check with me's that they really haven't been doing a lot of, where they were letting Mizzou shift into what they wanted to run and then looking to the sideline and making a play call.
Right.
And Bowden just – he's provided a spark and an explosiveness that this offense really hasn't had since 2016. Just that big play factor. He's leads the SEC in 20-plus yard runs, and he's only been getting primary carries
for three games.
He's ninth in the FBS in 20-plus yard runs. So just look at – those are eye-popping numbers.
He's 8.1 yards a carry through the three games. They factor in the earlier ones when he was getting some of those kind of wildcat runs. Even factoring those in, he's top 10 in yards per carry, second in the SEC.
Yeah. On his year, he's 7.97, so he's eight yards per carry.
Yeah.
And he's just been in the two home wins. He's been awesome. And against Georgia, he nearly ran for 100 yards against one of the best defenses in the country.
You know that it was the best rushing performance of the year, but I think what makes it stand out even more is that he did it in a very kind of casual manner where you didn't realize it was 200. You know, it just kind of like he was just popping off like 10, 12.
It was a weird game because Missouri, they had their moments where they really kind of bottled everything up.
Mm-hmm.
But Kentucky used that aggressiveness against them. And when they got a big play, they really got a big play.
Man, what made me so happy, was that Eddie Grand, this was a big setup game for Grand. I think you illustrated it in your Inside the Play with a guard tackle counter, where that was action they had set up for a while, comes to fruition in a big moment. And in the first few drives, they did the same thing that they had done against Arkansas, where they're setting up, they're kind of just running, ramming their head into a wall to give Missouri looks. And as soon as they catch them cheating, boom, they hit Bryce Oliver deep down the middle of the field.
They had other 50-50 balls that could have easily been caught too.
The Mod Wagner one, where if he doesn't slow down a little bit because this guy tripped up, I mean, he's all alone, and Bowden just put too much sauce on it.
The play before Chance Poor's field goal was a one-on-one to Oliver. He had a really good chance.
That
at
was
ball.
A great, great defensive play.
By DeMarcus Acy, one of the best corners in the SEC.
Yeah, great defensive play. But I really think that we found a sweet spot for Grant as a play caller and for Kentucky to have this offensive identity. And that's why I think it's no question you ride the hot hand. There's no doubt in my mind that Lynn Bowden is quarterback one. Why take it away from his hands? And as I illustrated earlier today, and a post on KSR, the biggest thing is just how much more efficient it is with Bowden getting the ball right now. So before he was moved to quarterback, he was getting targeted. The average was 11.8 times per game. But I think in the Florida game or the South Carolina, it was one of those two, he had like 18 targets and only
Florida-Mississippi State game, he was up there around 16 targets for both games.
And only getting like 9 catches. Mm-hmm. That is horribly inefficient. Now, he was turning them into big plays. But they were force-feeding Bowden, and when they wouldn't work, you could see the frustration. You could really sense it. Now that he's getting twice as many touches, and he's averaging 2 more yards an attempt, the production just is obvious. Get the ball to your best player and let him make the most of it, and he's done exactly that.
This move has enhanced Kentucky's strengths in a lot of ways. They're at their best when they can run a ball control offense under Stoops. That's just been proven. I mean, that's a fact. We can hide from it if we want.
Yeah.
We can say we need to throw the ball, we need balance.
It helps
yada,
the defense.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. 33-7 when Stoops outrushes the opponent.
Right. So, and it helps his defense because Stoops knows if he can just have his defense on the field for 60 to 65 plays, they're going to be pretty freaking good. And they're going to hold teams under 20 points, and they're going to feel really, really damn good about their chances to win a football game. And it, like I just said, the explosiveness is something this offense, as great as Benny is, and we're going to get to why they're missing Benny too, because they're missing some of that efficiency from the backs.
Mm-hmm.
But they just haven't been explosive, haven't got the splash plays on offense. And Bowden gives them a chance to do that, not only in the ground game, but one-on-ones in the passing game. We saw against Missouri, they took their chances, they hit on one, and that led to a scoring drive. So that he gives them a chance to do that. which is really, really big. Now, ball security is an issue still. He's fumbled three times and lost all three in the last two games.
Yeah.
But when you look at the numbers they're putting up, 330 yards, 6.1 yards per carry against Arkansas, 160 yards against Georgia, and that's Georgia.
Yep.
And then 297 yards on just 48 carries against Mizzou, 6.19 yards per carry. So they're just...
That's a first down every two plays.
And when you look nationally, just what they're at right now, Kentucky's up there with a bunch of big-time schools. They're top 25 rushing offense right now. So when you look at that...
And that's with the first few games not rushing the ball very well at all.
Right, exactly. And they're not getting much from the backs right now.
Yeah, this was something I know you wanted to hit on, but especially when it comes to explosiveness, you have your moments with the running with A.J. Rose, and I know we got a score out of Kavassier Smoke, and you get some of the tough yards with Chris Rodriguez, but the explosive plays that we expected to get consistently from them, they just haven't been there. Now, we'll still see a couple a game, but not at the rate that we anticipated going into the season.
Yeah, Rose had a 20-yard touchdown, and it was beautifully blocked.
Yeah.
Inside zone, split zone play. Drake Jackson, Logan Stenberg, they moved the nose about 4 yards, and then Drake wallops the middle linebacker. And
that is
walk-in touchdown.
When you look at those promotional films like How to Combo Block, that is perfect.
Right.
Just absolutely perfect form, perfect execution.
But if you take out that 20-yard run, A.J. had 31 yards on 14 carries. It's barely over 2 yards per carry. That's just not good enough. From a down-to-down basis, like we talked about before the season started, Cam Rose, can he fall forward? Can he find a way to get 3-4 yards to supplement in between the big plays? He's not doing that. And then when you look at the big plays,
This stat boggles. Like, when you shared it, I was like, what? Really?
He had 330-plus-yard runs last year in 71 carries. Remember the big touchdown against Louisville, the big touchdown against Central Michigan. I think he had a big carry against Middle Tennessee, plus some other big carries sprinkled in. This year, he has 130-plus-yard carry in 106 attempts. That's just not what we thought we were going to get.
No.
Everybody thought going into the season that, you know, he's going to struggle a little bit on the short yardage type stuff or making something out of nothing. That was what Benny was really good at, turning a 0-yard gain into a 3-yard gain, turning a 2-yard gain into a 6-yard gain. We knew that was where he was going to struggle, but what we thought he could make it up and why people thought he could run for 1,000 yards this year was because he was just going to provide that big play pop, that 2 yards, 0 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard, 5 yards, 67 yards.
Yeah, hadn't been there.
And that just hasn't happened. And then when you look at the depth, Kavassier Smoke has not been the same. We talked about it last week since the Florida game. He had another outing where it was like 2 carries for 7 yards. Him and Chris Rodriguez in the last game combined for just 21 yards on 9 carries.
2 yards a carry.
So they're just really not getting enough. They are running back production away from having one of the best rushing attacks in college football.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they are right now. If they could find something at running back, it's going to be damn hard to stop this offense. But they just haven't been able to find it. They're trying to figure it out. They're rotating guys in. I think Smoke's probably playing hurt when you talk about that shoulder sprain. They gave Rodriguez some chances. He just really couldn't get anything. But Missouri, their MO is stuff in the box and stop the run, even if it leaves you open for potential big plays. So going forward, they're going to face defenses that are a little more, I guess, safety concern, whether it's keeping the big play in check. And that's why I think you're going to see defense start to play Kentucky to prevent the big plays from Bolden. But what that's going to do is open up chances for those running backs, and these guys have to deliver
especially for Kentucky to go on a run. That Louisville game, they're not going to be able to stop the run, and you just have to have backs who are willing to make the most of it.
And against Tennessee, they're not going to get in zero coverage like Missouri did. At least I don't think. Derek Ansley learned under Mark Stoops.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt plays the same style of defense, that 3-4. They're going to play it safe, and they're going to make Kentucky earn it with, you know, all right, you move the chains, get 4 yards, get 6 yards, get 7 yards, but we're not letting you get 48 yards.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's
they're not going to go all out to get negative plays. Like
it's
Missouri.
Still worth noting that Missouri did enter the game average giving up only 112 yards on the ground a game. It was second in the SEC, I think, behind only Georgia. And then Bowden got 200 bombs.
And we also must notice that they played other running quarterbacks before. No one did really close to what Bowden did, too.
Right. That's very true. But as you said, in order to be able to hand Tennessee an L, you got to get more out of the running backs. Now, we can save more of that for next week. Tennessee's a weird ass team to try to figure out. It's at least from my vantage point because it's Jekyll and Hyde. You know, you never know what you're going to get. You can tell they're getting better.
Offense is very very big play dependent, especially with the receivers.
The receivers are good. Yeah,
they might be the worst Power Five team in the red zone on offense. Defense is kind of like Kentucky. They keep growing, and they've got three seniors right now that are going to get drafted that are really good.
They got some studs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's going to be, just long story short, it's going to be a slugfest.
Bet that under.
Punt to win. Use your damn punter. Because Max Duffy is a badass.
Oh, man. He really is. And, I mean, the fact that, so here's the thing.
I don't even want to talk about the run. I want to talk about that 70-yard rugby kick. He kicked from one hash to the other.
That was the part that was even crazier about it, is it went 70 yards, and he rolled right and kicked it left.
And it bounced maybe 12, 13 yards.
Yeah, it was mostly in the air. That dude is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Like, and this goes back to your winning formula. It's defense, flip the field with special teams, and run the damn ball.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, Missouri had to go to a high school punt return formation.
Where they had two guys on the
field. They had to put two halfbacks back there.
Gosh.
Because they were so worried about Duffy kicking where they weren't and not being able to get over there and cover that. And when they did that, that's when you got the fake punt in the big game.
Man, that was a hell of a
run. To the ref's detriment, Kentucky survived those two 15-yard penalties that probably shouldn't have been penalties.
I kind of got why they did the one, not on Daly, because typically they let some of that stuff go, like the kind of late stuff. But they didn't call the one hit that Jamin Davis had blindside block, which I know they put an extra emphasis on. They did it for like the first 2 weeks, and they've just stopped.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah, but like that was the perfect time to call the blindside block because the play was over and he was past it. But they call that, they throw that flag, takes away 15 yards. But Kentucky still drives down the field, delivers the dagger. That was huge just from a – I mentioned earlier, Kentucky needed to get a first – they go three and out to start the second half.
What I told people next to me. I said, we just need to get a first down here.
Just to give the defense a break, and they go three and out right away. And luckily, Max Duffy, I think the only reason why he did end up taking it is he didn't catch it cleanly right away.
Right.
He kind of bobbles it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when he had to evade the pressure, he looked up, and there was just nobody there. He only had to go 7 yards. Yeah, there was nobody there. So I was happy he finally took advantage of one of those opportunities. And look at what I think is fun about all of this stuff that Duffy's done. We mentioned that you go from one thing to the next, and it forces teams to go to high school formations. Like, what do you even do at this point to try to, like teams have tried everything to try to – counteract whatever Duffy's doing. Now he's doing everything.
Well, now that he has a fake on book, you're not going to see teams really set. Like Tennessee has a really good punt returner, Marcus Callaway. They returned one for a touchdown against South Carolina last week that kind of swung the game. He's got at least three or four career. They have to sit there and be like, okay.
They got to play safe.
Do we want to try to set up a return to maybe flip this game, or is it worth the risk with this guy who can either? Because not the thing about it is he cannot even fake it because he holds the ball for so long that if you don't rush, it doesn't matter. He's just going to sit there and wait
until
4 seconds.
Until the entire
and then he's just
going
to kick it, and then it's a 50-yard punt. It's downed, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
So they're
going to have to pick their poison. And he's going to be a big guy in this next week, but he's been awesome, All-American, and he's getting the credit he deserves. And punt to win. Use your weapon.
We're going to look back on that Texas A&M game last year as
because
America's greatest punt off.
I looked this week. He took the punting average away from Duffy this past week.
He did last week?
Or this week. This week. So he must have had a big game last week.
That 17-yarder, that hurt. It's really going to hurt.
We need get a couple more 70-yarders and we'll be in business.
Yeah, yeah. That same guy, Braden Mann, is that his name? Correct. Mm-hmm. He had to announce that he wasn't going to the draft this year, which is pretty wild for a punter. But that may end up being the same case for Duffy.
But by the way, I love that Alan Daly penalty, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think that shows you kind of the mindset of the team, that they are all in on Bowden at quarterback.
Oh.
And that you're not going to mess with their guy. And he went over there right in front of that sideline and with no back down and just
immediately. The guy. Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to do that to my guy.
I like that he immediately now, goes if he would've, on Twitter, if he would've, too, and he's like, had to do it for the squad.
If he would have made his block on that play, Bowden scores. So, I'm sure in the film room they're like, well, you know, if you just make your block, if you hit him in the damn field, it's a touchdown. But bygones
almost,
be bygones.
It's he got to injury.
A couple plays later, he got just enough of the guy to spring Bowden. So,
Daly's a guy that I would like to have blocking for me. Well, has a big body inside.
Yep, he is.
But that point you make, too, I want to hammer it home. You can think that Kentucky needs a passing attack all you want. I think you need an offensive identity is much more important. The South Carolina-Mississippi State games, Kentucky dilly-dally too much around trying to figure out who they were. You know who you are now. You stick to your guns.
And it was just that Florida game really killed their spirits on top of Terry Wilson.
Yeah.
There was two rough weeks hanging over Feck in play there.
Now you've won two out of three. Your only loss is to a top 10 Georgia team where you hung tight for 2.5 quarters. They're feeling good about themselves, and they're confident that they can win out. That's where they're at right now. Mm-hmm. This team is confident, and that's incredibly important on a football team because I almost quit playing football because my team was on a 3-game losing streak when I was a sophomore. I wasn't playing. Just the entire – when you're losing in football, it sucks. There's not a –
It's not a game tomorrow.
No, it's a whole entire week. And Kentucky, they had 2 weeks going into that first bye week. Or in that first bout, they had 2 weeks of marinating on three losses in a row. And they could have easily just hung it up and just said, you know what, we lost Terry. This ain't it. This ain't the year for us. You know, sucks it sucks. Oh, well, we'll get back at it next year. Instead, Kentucky did the wise thing. They put Lynn Bowden at quarterback, and he rallied the troops. He has that locker room right now, and you ride or die with that guy.
Right. And we've also seen the weather's been so bad that we haven't seen Bowden pass. I think there's a little bit more there.
There is. There's a lot more. Especially because.
Which could play in Kentucky's hands this week because there's two games Tennessee really hasn't seen Kentucky even try to do anything other than throw deep for the most part.
A couple hitches here and there. A couple slants that first game and RPO. But that's about it.
And like we talked about before Bowden even took quarterback, this isn't just putting your best player at quarterback. Like this kid can play quarterback. He played it in high school. He's could have played college somewhere, FBS, starting quarterback.
He can command a huddle. He can run an offense. Now,
he's electric with a football in his hands. There's no denying it.
And even though he's not, like, dropping dimes on little corner routes over the shoulder, like, he can make enough throws that is it that much different than some of Kentucky's passing offenses in the past?
What Kentucky's doing right now is essentially what triple options seem to do. They just pound you with a run, and then every once in a while, they're going to take a deep shot. That's why you see option quarterbacks at Navy, at Army, at Air Force. They have 42% completion percentage, but they're averaging 18 yards per completion.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're just taking deep shots, and that's kind of what Kentucky's been doing with Bowden, and it's working right now, and they just need to keep rolling with it. Keep Sawyer coming along, though. You might need him for something. They needed him in this last game.
Mm-hmm.
God, so you never know.
That was a hell of a bounce.
If they get behind a couple of possessions, they're probably going to have to play him.
It was one hell of a bounce. Right. That was a very lucky bounce.
Better be lucky than good. Kentucky was due for a couple of good bounces.
Man, they were. They absolutely were. And they got him against Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Sawyer's one of those where you have him ready for the chance. Like, okay, down a couple scores, let's let it rip a little bit.
Right.
And then you can still use Bowden in those cases and kind of mix it up.
And gadget plays. Throwing him out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just throwing him out there at quarterback a play, maybe letting him throw something or hand it off, and then just to show something, and then maybe try to hit on the defense when they're not
in or rhythm, out or something. Rhythm, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or a sudden change after a turnover, throwing him out there or something like that.
Just, yeah. Or making him burn a timeout.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of sudden change, Kentucky turned it over twice on their side of the 50, the bad side of the 50.
Mm-hmm.
Defense came out and got two stops.
0 points.
Zero total. Points out of it.
Yeah.
That was big. That's something they struggled with in the past this
and
year.
And then the offense turned turnovers into points.
Mm-hmm.
You got the touchdown before half. Was one of them a field goal? The field goal from Chance Poor?
No, because they only had one turnover in the first half, and then they had the Chris Oates fumble at the end.
Yeah, yeah. That ended up being the dagger. But, oh, yeah, the Calvin Taylor fumble, they recovered it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gosh, that was awesome. That picture Dr. Mike has of it, it's incredible.
Yeah, it was.
I've used it a lot. Okay, Missouri game. Have we crossed all our T's, dotted all our I's?
Your man found a way to be dry at that game, believe it or not.
Oh, Adam Luckett, you stayed dry during the monsoon?
I'll tell you what we did. Our seats were not in a dry area, but we had some friends mm-hmm. who came to this game.
Mm-hmm.
They sat in the Mizzou section, but it was all the way in the corner.
Oh.
Over the overhang.
So I really like the corner angle, too. It's an angle you don't always watch football games from.
It just depends where the ball is. Field goals, you don't have a damn clue what's going on.
Yeah, and you don't really have a clue when it's on the side when you're on the sideline.
Even the first miss, which I went back and watched on TV, I was like, damn, that wasn't even close. I had no idea when he kicked it. And then the extra points for Ruffalo, I thought he hit both of them.
Yeah, well, except the one he doinked.
But even the doink, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
So I was able to stay dry. We had a grand old time, and then everybody else was soaked, and we were just chilling up there.
I'm surprised I didn't see more people like gravitating up towards the kind of overhang hung area.
What happened to the Mizzou fans? They were all getting drenched, and then there was a few rows of them that came up by us for the second half, and we were having a lot more fun than they were. Other than the Beatty touchdown,
how rough does that have to be that you travel like? I mean, I guess it's the same for Kentucky fans going to Georgia. At least, like, we didn't have hope that we were going to win. Like, that was all for fun. You know, that was all gravy. Missouri fans came, like, thinking they could win this game. And this was going to be their big road trip. And then they just get soaked and then get their ass kicked.
Yeah, that sucks.
Just absolutely get shellacked. And, like, the part was is that whatever few chances they had early on, they just completely botched every single one of them. Like, you know when you miss that first field goal that it's going to be a long day. A very, very long day. And that's what it was for Missouri. It's kind of nice. Feels good to be on the winning side.
It was good. It felt good to get kind of a pull-away win.
Yeah.
Statement win.
Yeah.
There's been times where Kentucky, you felt like they were the better team all game, but they only win by like 10 points or so. It was good to be like, put it in drive and just make a statement.
That happens when you run the damn ball.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you get explosive plays on offense.
Yeah. Question. So Kentucky, they're 4-4 right now. What's their final record, Adam Luckett?
You know, in my preseason prediction, I haven't missed a game yet.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I know Jeff Drummond's in the same boat too.
Me and I think Drummond picked the exact same.
Really?
Throughout the year, that every game was the same.
The Florida, Mississippi State, South Carolina 3-game skid.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And then now, do you have the Cats finishing out 8-4?
I do.
Huh. Interesting. See, here's the thing. In my mind, there's the Kentucky fan in me that's been doing this for long enough who's like, oh, well, Kentucky will lose a game that they shouldn't. That probably already happened with South Carolina and Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. I think South Carolina, they were probably going to lose that game. But Mississippi State was the one. The more that game moves away, and then when you see how...
That was the product of catching a team in a bad spot.
Well, you didn't have a field goal kicker at the time. You blew scoring opportunities to throw a pick six first possession.
Yeah.
And your defense was still kind of figuring stuff out. Yeah, that was just the one. It's like we said after the game, they just don't play well there for every reason.
So hopefully that's the one that got away. But the final four teams, very beatable. I've looked up the formula is run the ball and play good defense and win the field position battle. The last, you know, you throw out UT Martin because they're FCS, but the highest ranked scoring offense you have left, Louisville's like 42nd in the country at like 20-something points a game. Everybody else is a 97 or 120th. You're going to be able to hold these last teams to 20 points or less.
Mm-hmm.
So the key comes down to, can your offense get enough big plays?
Can you get to that 23, 24-point mark?
That's what they need, right around 24 points. And
Because this year when they score at least 22 or at least 24, they're 4-0. When they don't, they're 4-4.
Yeah. So I'm bullish on Kentucky's passing game getting better towards the end of the year, where they can get...
I think they have a surprise element because of the rain the last 2 weeks, too. I think they're going to be able to get some people where they don't think they're going to be able to get them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing. And I love the bye week before Tennessee. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
Man.
Tennessee's played... This will be their fifth or sixth straight game, and only but one of them has come against Power 5 teams. And this UAB team they're playing this week is physical as all get out, and they're going to straight up fight Tennessee in between the lines.
Especially because, I mean, Birmingham's like 2.5 hours away.
And they're going to have a lot of fans there.
UAB is huge on the disrespect card. Mm-hmm. Their coach was on Feinbaum calling Alabama. If Alabama Tuscaloosa wants to play,
Bill Clark.
The Blazers do not mess around. So they're... Like you said, I mean, you had South Carolina, which that's a street fight between the whistles. You got the Alabama game where they actually fought him pretty tooth and nail.
Right.
And if Garantano doesn't go all rogue on him, who knows how that game ends up.
But it's also they got to play Alabama without Tua, too,
for most of the game. But all of that being said, they're going to be worn down. Kentucky's going to be fresh. This is a good spot for Kentucky. Unless, actually, I don't know. I don't think
the only thing you worry about is Kentucky was such – really on defense. I think offense needs to rest. Ahmad Wagner's got an injury we don't know about.
Yeah.
Offensive line just played a few physical games, let them kind of reset.
Yeah. No, it's...
But the defense was playing at such a high level, and you've... Boogie Watson said on Twitter, I believe Kevin Taylor said in the press conference yesterday, that they just want to play again. The confidence is so high, they wanted to play this week.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to hope you don't, like, kind of lose that edge they kind of established here.
Even though that us Big J's love to complain about the late kickoffs, it's going to be a really good crowd for this Tennessee game.
Right, and Kentucky fans, if you're on the fence about coming, you need to go.
Yeah, this is a big game.
Going to be football weather in the 40s.
Oh, you know who's going to be there too, banging that big blue drum.
Big Josh Allen.
Big Josh Allen. I'm going to try to convince him to come to the pregame show too. I don't know if I can or not. I don't know if I have that kind of pull. But I'm
lean on him.
I'm gonna try though. But I'm almost certain.
But we know Tennessee's gonna. They always do when they're decent. They're going to show up.
Yeah.
Let's get out there and let's make this an atmosphere. We love – this fan base loves 7:30 kicks.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a long day of tailgating. We're going to get to watch LSU and Alabama play in the parking lot, which is what I wanted. I was dreading if it was going to be at 4 o'clock. So we're going to have to get to see most of that game. And then
I have a feeling to go in there.
And I think that place is going to be on edge. It should be on edge. And I think it's going to be a really fun atmosphere. And Kentucky has a really good chance to beat Tennessee, and that's going to be that's a party every time, no matter what. You get them at home. You think you're the better team this year. Let's go have a ball.
Go have a ball. And this weekend, we don't have any football, but we're still going to have some fun. Got the Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday, so quite a bit of gambling will be done on my behalf. Good college football slate Saturday. Got the cocktail party, which – You were contemplating going.
I was. My in-laws live down in the Jacksonville metro area.
It's a pretty large metro area.
Yes.
By as far as
it's
miles.
It's the biggest, like, I guess, landmass.
Yeah, largest city by square miles.
Yes.
Yeah. But you're it's a quick turnaround, so not going to the cocktail party.
We're not
going to
make it this year, unfortunately, even though my in-laws had set up for us. We had some good tickets we could have got. But I have to stay in the city. But it got me thinking this week.
Mm-hmm.
What are my five favorite non-UK football games that I watch every year?
Okay.
Like the five games I just see myself watching every year I think are cool.
Okay.
So
these are non-bowl games, correct?
Right. Just regular season teams that play every year.
Because Rose Bowl is up
right
there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We're just doing regular season. Okay. So.
Number five.
I start off with the Egg Bowl.
Ooh, okay. I like that because
they just hate each other. And this year, the Egg Bowl is going to be my favorite Egg Bowl because both of them suck. Neither of them are probably going to go bowling.
They're going to fight each other.
And they're just going to play.
Oh, my God. When the one dude hiked his leg up and, like, peed, oh, my goodness. That was awesome.
There's just so much vitriol. Both of those fan bases can't stand each other. And I love the game. It's going to be ugly football, ugly rivalry football. And it's going to be awesome. On Thanksgiving night, too. I like the move to Thanksgiving night. Oh, that's no good. We have a first, ladies and gentlemen, all 11 personnel, eating insects. football guy, Nick Roush.
Extra protein. Oh, man, that is.
That don't taste good, does it?
And that went right down the wrong pipe, too. I guess that's good for whatever, eating. It's got to be good for homeopathic remedy, right, for a cold?
Sure.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. I was trying to, like, blow it away from a microphone, too, and instead I ended up sucking it back
in. That fly just wants to run the damn ball, too.
Oh, man. My goodness. That was weird. All right. Wow. That was bizarre. So I had – here's my thing. Some of this is just purely regional basis. So my number five, I was going to put U of L's big game because, like, it – but it changes too much. Like, it was West Virginia – back when we were growing up.
Conference realignment.
Yeah, conference realignment's really messed them up. Cincinnati, those games were fun. Keganales. Yeah. And then in the early years when they were playing Clemson, everybody remembers James Quick forgetting where the first down marker was and the conspiracy theory that they tried to hide the first down marker from them. But so, but I actually had Chick-fil-A kickoff in there.
Just the first big game, the first Saturday.
Yes. And yeah, since you already said Egg Bowl, I'm going to go with Chick-fil-A kickoff as my number five.
There you go. That's a big one.
My number four, Red River Shootout. It's early in the year. You got the Texas State Fair. And I like it because it's a noon kick. It's guaranteed to get the game starting off on the right foot. And it's always like it's always a million points are scored. And even if Texas stinks, there's a chance that they could win because of the rivalry factor.
I always like – I'm going to get to that one later, but you have the comeback element. I feel like always the team's down big and comes back at the end.
The reason – what really made me enjoy it too is when I watched the game at Texas A&M and to see all of the fans there. It was like when we were down at Georgia watching Florida play, and they were cheering against Florida. Mm-hmm. Like the entire bar was anti-Florida. The entire Texas A&M place, anti-Texas. Mm-hmm. Horns down, whole nine yards. Awesome.
My number four, Navy-Army. Army-Navy.
Oh, man, I forgot about that one. It's, man, there's two things that this game has. It's the only game.
Mm-hmm.
B, the chances of it being a snow game are very high.
And it's a neutral game in a pro stadium, but it's filled.
Yeah, it's so odd.
And it's 50-50.
It reminds me of the old IU-Kentucky games where it was like split down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You get that factor. Oh, man, gosh, what an idiot, Roush. How'd you leave that one off?
Yeah, that one's it's cold weather. It's option football in cold weather. Man. It's just awesome.
Oh, especially like, I don't know if it was this year or the one before where one of the teams had a late penalty. They were having a late drive. And they had it was like everything was going right. And you're like, okay, they're setting up for this field goal. And then one holding call. And it just all goes kaboom. Mm-hmm. Just a complete disaster. There's no margin of error.
The way the two teams play, the games are meant to be close because they're just playing that option ball.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And then somebody will throw interception on the one pass they throw all game. Right. Oh, gosh.
Then my number three was UCLA-USC, mainly because they both wear their home jerseys.
Oh, so you get
so they wear the powder blue. UCLA wears the powder blues. USC wears the reds.
It's beautiful.
It's the color game. And that's
the main
reason.
Rush game.
Yeah, that's the main reason I like that one.
Number three for me, LSU-Alabama. Mm-hmm. And this is almost – mainly because the games, when they're at Death Valley, are just incredible. And Coach O has added some extra juice to it. It's always defensive slobber knocker. And my favorite part of it all is how much it pisses off every other talking head outside of the SEC. Oh, well, they're just going to get
The greatest game ever.
Danny Cannell loses his mind every single year. Well, the SEC doesn't deserve two teams. No, these are the two best teams. That's why they are where they are. It's going to be huge again this year. And Saban being there before adds a whole nother element to it. So, LSU, Alabama, my number three.
My number two is the cocktail party. Mm. I'm a big fan of the neutral games, especially when everybody shows up and it's kind of that 50-50 split. It's in Jacksonville. A lot of times it's for the East. It's the two prominent programs. Like you said, mm-hmm. Georgia fans hate Florida. Florida fans hate Georgia. And I just love the game every year. I like the color. It's the red and the blue.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a great game. It's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
The reason why I didn't make my list, Adam Luckett, is because I hate Florida so much. And especially when Urban was there, they did pretty well.
Right.
Now, probably one of the greatest, like, it was probably my introduction to, like, football outside of Kentucky where I really started enjoying other games was when Mark Richt had him do the celebration in the end zone. That was electric.
Yes, it was.
Incredible.
And Florida got him back next year. But that moment, that was awesome. Urban Meyer just, his head exploded. He wanted to fight Mark Richt the entire game.
Oh, man.
And Georgia just ran him out of the stadium.
But so that was a good one. Your number two.
That was my number two.
Oh, that was your number two? Oh, my number two, Iron Bowl.
Iron Bowl, yeah.
Simple, plain and simple. Kick six, one of the more surreal moments ever. In the old Commonwealth Stadium press box, for whatever reason, some of the TVs were on different, like, delays. And when I saw it happen, I was at one end of the press box, and it was ahead of the other end. And I was standing up to eat before I made my way back to my seat. And I thought to myself, like, are they showing a replay of, like, a past play or something? Like, this can't be real.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I was just in stunned silence. And then the other end started seeing it live. And there was just, like, an audible, no way, no way, no, he's doing that? And, I mean, that's just one of the most incredible plays ever. Mm-hmm. And not only are there typically postseason implications on the line, but it's a Alabama is the big brother, but when Auburn gets them, you know it just crushes their soul. It makes
especially
Auburn's
lately
season,
with Saban.
Oh man, and I enjoy it thoroughly.
I had a football moment for that 2013 game you're talking about. I was sitting at my cousin's house. I was saying they can't kick it here. You don't kick it here. You don't kick it here. It's a 58-yard field goal. He's not going to make it. You got the better team. Go to overtime. Throw a Hail Mary.
Alabama kickers. Good. Come on.
I said, no, he's like, and I think my uncle was like, why wouldn't they kick it? I said, because if he doesn't make it, you've got a bunch of old linemen trying to cover that guy. And if he catches it, he's going to score a touchdown.
Oh, man.
And he kicked it, and I said, told you they were going to, don't kick it.
Predicting the kick six, Adam Muckett, makes you perfect for this job right here, because nobody else on planet Earth could have, that call to, Auburn's going to win the football game.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. Rest in peace. Adam Muckett.
Number one for me is Red River. I just love the setup of the game. Love that it's at noon every year in October, and the style of play between the two teams. I love the jerseys, how they kind of mesh the burnt orange and the crimson of Oklahoma. And usually they're the top two teams in the Big 12. It's always a big game. The two teams hate each other. A lot of Oklahoma guys are from Texas. But Texas should be the better program, but really Oklahoma's the better program, so there's that dynamic going on.
Right.
And that's just my favorite game. And they're always high scoring, it seems like.
Can you guess what my number one game is? We've mentioned many a big rival.
Ohio State, Michigan.
Yep, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it right there. The biggest one we hadn't mentioned yet. And this is purely personal because but for me it's I go to the wife's for Thanksgiving, typically. And everybody, I mean, it's 2 days before, everybody's talking about that game. And there's always, they're all Buckeyes fans, except for, like, the cousins that, like, we don't really talk to that much. And they're just decked out in Michigan gear. They don't give a damn. They are just Michigan, go blue the whole way out. And my wife's hatred for Michigan, like, really, really just ups the ante. She doesn't care too much about sports at all. But when it comes to Ohio State, Michigan, she wants, like last year, it's the happiest I've ever seen her watching sports. Was that blowout. And that was the most surprise. Like,
I was shocked.
I even enjoyed that. Like, just mollywhopping Jim Harbaugh. Her father-in-law, my father-in-law, just hates Jim Harbaugh with a burning passion. That's a game that I really want to go to. Unfortunately, Kentucky-Louisville has made that difficult, but I'm going to make it happen one day at the shoot.
Maybe 1 year, Kentucky-Louisville will shift over to Friday.
Man, that'd be nice. There's a lot of games on the Friday now, but I still think that would be fun.
I would love it if they could get that Friday night. That'd be awesome. But, like, to your point last year, I remember sitting at Hoops, getting the day started off before we headed over to Cardinal Stadium.
Oh, that's a hell of a day right there.
Sitting there telling people, yeah, I feel pretty good about this under in Ohio State, Michigan. This defense is really good for Michigan.
Hell, Ohio State hit it by himself.
Michigan's going to milk the clock. Ohio State, yeah, they'll be able to keep them in check.
Oh, man.
That didn't last very long. I was just like, this is – then I'm looking at it, I'm like, Michigan's scoring 30-something points, and they're going to get housed in this game. I said, Harbaugh's got to be sitting there just like, what the hell?
And the fact that, like, it's completely defining Jim Harbaugh's tenure. Like, just, I mean, it's kind of like Patino at Louisville, where it doesn't matter how good you are. If you don't beat your rival, nobody cares.
Yeah.
You have to beat your rival. He hasn't done it. The guys before him haven't done it. Is it like 11 in a row now? I think maybe 12.
It's a lot. Up there. I want to say it's like 9, but it's like 17 in the last 18, something like that. They won in like 2012, the year Tressel, like they had that weird year.
The Ryan Day year where he was interim. Or no, the Luke Fickell year.
They won that year.
But it's other than that.
So I want to say that was like 2011. It's like 15 out of 16.
There's also the element where you've got the old Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes, just old salt of the earth, just sons of bitches. Just old football guys. I enjoy
Bo
that.
Bo was a Woody assistant, and then Bo makes Michigan good.
Mm-hmm. My question for you, Adam Luckett, after watching Ohio State completely dismantle Wisconsin, I know everybody's going to be focused on that game next weekend between LSU and Alabama, but is Ohio State better than both of them?
Yeah, they're the best team I've seen so far. Right now they are. I think Chase Young.
God, that dude.
I think he has a real chance at winning the Heisman.
He had 4 sacks and 2 forced fumbles?
Mm-hmm. They were running him up at Mike linebacker and letting him rush the passer and like dime.
He is so good. Mm-hmm. And
he's a freak.
And people pay a lot of attention to Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins has 1,000 yards already.
In August last year, Ohio State had Chase Young and Joey Bosa on their defensive line.
Yeah, the fact that
Nick Bosa, I'm sorry.
Yeah, again, damn Bosa's, they're all the same. But, like, the stuff that Josh Allen did last year, that's young except right off the bat. Like, I felt like it took a little bit to get Allen going. And Josh Allen got held so many damn times they didn't even call it. It drive me nuts.
Yeah, he's a freak, and I think he has a real chance to win the Heisman. And they're the best team I've seen. They're just crushing teams. I think Cincinnati's got a pretty good football team, and they just destroyed them in week 3. And that's when I was like, whoa. Because I think Cincinnati's pretty good. I think they can hang with them. They're going to be pumped for this game. It's in-state. Fickell going back to Ohio State.
Yeah.
He knows the roster. Like, they're gonna hang with Ohio State, and it was never close. So they just got trounced.
And the thing that Ohio State also had the benefit of is they got Penn State at home, which is their toughest remaining game.
And at Michigan.
Yeah, they'll crush Michigan.
Michigan's offense, though, starting to look a little better. We'll see how they do the next couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. And then in the Big Ten Championship, they're going to play Minnesota?
Minnesota, Wisconsin, it's looking like.
Yeah, and I mean, so I...
Yeah, it'd be a shock if they weren't number one going into the college football playoff.
So here's my other question, Adam Luckett. What happens now that Oklahoma's got an L? Like, that loss, shocking. I mean, Kansas State did how they did what you have to do to beat Oklahoma, and that's possess the ball, run it, limit the times that Jalen Hurts has the ball in his hands, and then, you know.
Well, it was the old school Oklahoma defense. They just kind of had a lull there. They didn't play really well all day, and Oklahoma's offense had a couple drives in the third quarter where they didn't score, and then a turnover or two, and then boom, Kansas State's got a big lead. And then there's not enough time left for Oklahoma to come back. To me, what it does, it opens up for 2 SEC teams. Now, if Alabama loses to LSU next week, they don't have the resume, but they got the Alabama factor.
LSU has
But if LSU resume, loses, yeah. They have the resume. I don't think you can keep them out over a one-loss Oklahoma or a one-loss Pac-12 champion.
They beat Texas, neutral site.
Florida at home. They beat Texas on the road. They need Texas to start winning. That one's going to hurt them a little bit. They need them to start winning.
But for a non-conference game, still, we got Texas, beat Florida, beat Auburn. Yeah. So, like, especially compared to Alabama, who, I mean, Duke. You know. So, okay. Let's just say, for argument's sake, it's Clemson, 2 SEC teams, and Ohio State in the playoff. What does that mean for Kentucky's bowl chances?
That opens the door for the Outback Bowl. If Kentucky gets 8-4 and that happens, they're going to the Outback Bowl.
Let's make it happen.
It makes the ceiling the Gator, or the, not the floor, the Gator Bowl.
That's pretty good.
If Kentucky gets to 7-5 in that scenario, they're going to the Gator Bowl. If that doesn't happen and they're sitting at 7-5, it's going to be between Gator and Belk. It'll probably be pretty close. It'll depend on what everybody else is at.
Schedule.
But this game with Tennessee is a big one for bowl, not only for to beat those SOBs, but for bowl bowl slots. This is going to put Kentucky ahead of them. And this and South Carolina losing is big.
Yeah.
Because they're like, they're looking at 5-7 now. So that eliminates competition. So Kentucky's got a great now, me personally, I want to go to the Gator Bowl because I have family
yeah,
down there.
Yeah, yeah. You got the you can stay for a week and it's
right. Well, I'm going down there eventually, or no matter what. And then I'll have to either drive over to Tampa or won't have to drive over to Tampa. But it's a great chance for Kentucky.
Yeah, but
and these are bowl games where they're gonna play somebody that we're gonna like to play. Like, fans are going to be excited about who they're going to play down there.
Not Iowa. Likely. Iowa, too. I don't like that bowl matchup. That's a 13-10. Like,
well, punt the damn ball. Let's go. Punt to
like,
win.
Like, I like it, but there's also, like, a, like...
I would love it.
This is fighting fire with fire. You got the... I would just want it because then they're going to show that old Stoops picture mm-hmm. with the old jersey on. Which, by the way...
You know who has a tie-in to the Gator Bowl?
Big Ten.
Notre Dame.
Oh, that'd be fun. And they're right on that.
If they don't make the New Year's Six, that's probably that or the Camping World Bowl are probably the most likely spots they would land.
Camping World Bowl stinks, too. That's early. That's if they drop some more games like they fall to Virginia Tech this weekend. But, man, I'm excited. And, you know, the reason why we really need the Outback Bowl, A, I have bad Outback Bowl experiences. B, Kentucky's due to avenge mm-hmm. that loss that never happened. C, it'll be a preview for the SEC tournament in next year. Is it 2021 that's in Tampa, St. Pete?
I think it's two more years in Nashville and then 2021. I think. Maybe it's one. I don't know. I have to look it up. But, yeah, it'd be a preview for
so we get a
tournament.
Nice little preview.
And we could get the Michigan bump. Every year, an SEC team beats Michigan in the bowl game.
Oh, man.
And they get the Michigan bump offseason.
I would love to just – and you know what that would do for recruiting, too?
Mm-hmm.
To just beat that snot out of.
Or they could go play PJ Fleck in Minnesota.
It's not until 2022. Tampa was. I don't know. Yeah, not until 2022.
So, what is it, 3 years in a row in Nashville?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. I hate how they're doing that.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of over Nashville.
Yeah, man. Me too.
Go back to NOLA.
But I will.
Go back to NOLA. Come on.
The crew will be going down to Nashville for Vanderbilt game.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You're making the trip.
Making the trip. Second road trip of the year.
I'm hoping. So here's my ideal day, Adam Luckett. That's Kentucky gets 4 o'clock SEC Network. Go down Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Watch UK EKU on Broadway or at Tin Roof, Midtown, whatever. Go out on the town, sleep in. Kentucky wins. Drive home Saturday night. Get a good day of sleeps on Sunday.
We're going down Saturday, staying Saturday night, and then going home Sunday. Our plan is hopefully. Get that midday kickoff, then hit Midtown, watch some college football, go to Winners and Losers, and have a good night.
Winners and Losers. Never been to that one.
There's two bars right next to each other called Winners and Losers.
Miss that one, yeah. Hey, you know what? What the show me now. I might have to change those plans. Maybe go to the EKU game Friday night basketball. Our buddy coach is down there.
Go Colonels.
For the Colonels, yeah. Man, this was fun. We went a little longer than normal because I didn't give you a football podcast. So, hey, you know. Give and take, yin and yang.
Hey.
And it was fun to, like, talk other college football.
See, football podcasts, you have to go to a special studio. You got a nice table with a logo on it.
Yeah.
Food.
Yeah.
Here, we're in cramped quarters.
Yeah, we're in an office. It's a small
right
office.
Right behind the Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah. Just enjoying.
Random pictures.
Yeah, like.
I don't even know
funny?
How to describe these pictures.
It's like babies dressing overall saying, you've been farming long? I mean, I guess that's funny because they're babies, but like, come on. Yeah, this is a bizarre office. But either way, vacation experts will hook you up with an excellent vacation. Yeah, like he's got a beagle over here. Like, with just a, I don't know, let's pass it out.
But I want everybody to enjoy this bye week. Next week, it's on. Beat Tennessee.
I got to tell y'all, folks, Luckett's putting his helmet on whenever he starts talking about Tennessee. He's strapping them up, man. He's ready to kick their ass himself.
The one thing Mark Stoops really hasn't done, he needs to beat these guys. He's only beat them once.
Yeah.
Need to beat them more consistently. This is a big spot at home. Got some momentum. Fresh off a bye. You've been really good at home. Mark Stoops is in the midst of his best against the spread season. 5-2 against the spread so far. At home, they've been really good the last 2 years, other than that Georgia game, especially at night.
Go make it happen.
Go get a win.
Go make it happen. Kick some volunteer ass. Enjoy the bye week. Happy Saturday. Happy Breeders' Cup. Choose wisely. Pick the fast ponies. Go Cats. Go Kroger.